By a number of measures, children in Shasta County are exposed to more adverse childhood experiences, ACEs, than children in the rest of California. Several organizations and agencies are set up to assist the children and help them on the way to a life with less trauma and more overall health. Those include the Children's Legacy Center, which does not even have a permanent home in Redding yet. That's in the works. And there are other plans in the works as the Legacy Center assumes a role similar to the Children's Advocacy Centers elsewhere in our region. Kimberly Johnson is the Executive Director of the Children's Legacy Center in Shasta County and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Kimberly, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Certainly. Let's start with the set of issues that led to the creation of the CLC or given as a rationale for its creation. Those are some fairly alarming statistics about Shasta County children displayed on your site.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Jeffrey, one thing, and even the very introduction that you said that just made me smile is you immediately in Oregon, people know what a children's advocacy center is. I mean, it's pretty common. So you're able to say children's advocacy center, and it's pretty common knowledge and language because Oregon really has been on the forefront of developing children's advocacy centers all across the state. And once you cross that state line and get into California, it's a little bit different. There's a lot of education that's being done about what is a children's advocacy center, especially once you get outside of our government partners and our government agencies. So I just wanted to thank you for that smile that it brought to me, because we're hoping that we'll have the same education in our community one day soon, too. To answer your question about where all of this began, you know, in March of 2016, I was attending a sexual assault response team meeting, which is essentially any of the agencies that would be responding to any kind of a sexual assault that takes place in our community, whether that is through whether that's a child or an adult. And that day, there was one item on the agenda for topic of discussion, and it said Children's Advocacy Center. And I had never heard of a Children's Advocacy Center. Again, I was an uneducated, I was a Californian that didn't know about it. I'm not from Oregon. And so I just sat and listened, and each of the partnership agencies, law enforcement, child welfare, the district attorney's office, our victims advocacy, and the medical field, they all said, this is the greatest need that we have in Shasta County. And so immediately I went home and got on, you know, good old Grandpa Google and fell in love with this really collaborative model. And so all the partnership agencies were gathering at a meeting the following week. And I basically called in every favor I had and begged to come and attend the meeting. And here we are almost coming up on 4 years later this March.
So the basic idea of a children's advocacy center, now the Children's Legacy Center too, is to reduce the amount of trauma added on to a situation of child sexual abuse through the interview process. This is a major component of it, right?
Absolutely. It really is the heart and the core of the model. It's right now, if a child is being abused, they're having to retell the story of their abuse multiple times. And when you kind of think, if you kind of put on the hat of an investigator, you understand the reasoning why. I mean, an investigator in law enforcement is going to ask that child different questions than maybe the prosecutor will need in order to hold the offender accountable, or maybe than the physician would ask in order to ensure what types of potential bodily harm has happened. Additionally, a social worker might ask different questions than all of the others in order to ensure that there's a safety plan in place for that child. And so right now what is taking place is that child's having to be re-interviewed multiple times by each of those different agencies in any community really that doesn't have a children's advocacy center. Well, this model pulls all those agencies together under one roof, and then the forensic interviewer that's hired, we actually have a forensic interviewer on staff right now that's hired through the Children's Legacy Center. Her only job really is to interview those children through what's called a certified forensic interviewer training. It's a very, very strategic, gold standard evidence-based process that's basically just a fact-finding conversation with that child. And in a nearby room, all of the partnership agencies that are on that specific case, that child's specific social worker, specific investigator, et cetera, are watching that interview take place live and able to feed questions into that interviewer. And then that way that child is not having to be re-interviewed multiple times.
So instead of all of them being in the room at one time or each of them getting the child in turn, the forensic interviewer handles the interview with prompts from the people who need the information.
That's exactly right.
Kimberly Johnson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of the Children's Legacy Center in Shasta County. Sounds like Children's Advocacy Center is very much like it and is in the process of building its services. You can join us on the Exchange with comments, questions, and suggestions at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So before the hiring of the forensic interviewer and without a center in existence in Shasta County, where are child victims of sexual assault or sexual abuse taken or had been taken before the hiring of the interviewer?
That's a great question. You know, our law enforcement partners, they were really, our law enforcement as well as our child welfare partners, they were really the ones that recognized this is a need. And so they've really worked hard to reduce as much trauma as they can without a center. And so right now, there's what's called a soft room, which is basically an interview room that is more child friendly, that is inside of the Reading Police Department. Again, this is where you think of the child-friendly nature of it. The room itself is beautifully done. They have the cameras, the ability to watch the interview. But right now, that child is having to walk through this quite large, ominous building, walk through an investigations division within law enforcement in order to reach that soft room, right? So not an ideal setting. The other soft room takes place in the district attorney's office. And they actually just opened up their interview room as well several months ago. And so it'll be really nice to have those as backup sites even once we're established. But right now, those are where the interviews are taking place. So it's essentially as geared towards child-friendly as you can inside of what is, you know, a large kind of government ominous-type building. That is where those interviews are taking place right now.
I have been in some of the soft interview rooms in the Children's Advocacy Center in Medford, and I think I felt my blood pressure drop about 10 points just going into the room. It's amazing how carefully it's set up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So where do things stand? I mean, you're planning something that's like a Children's Advocacy Center. Why not go with that name and go for Children's Legacy Center instead?
Yeah, I'm loving the questions that you're asking. They're super unique to ones that I've had before, so I appreciate that. You know, when we originally began, we wanted to have this core foundation of a child advocacy center, a children's advocacy center, and we're working towards once we're in our facility in order to be an accredited children's advocacy center. However, we also knew that there were some potential additional components that we were going to want to include in our project that aren't really typically seen in a children's advocacy center, such as placement services, so such as the need for bed space for some of these kiddos. Right now in Shasta County, we'll have kids, and honestly, I just recently finished a Northern California kind of tour where I went and met with child welfare directors from 22 Northern California counties, and the vast majority of them are seeing the same issue. So it's not unique to Shasta. But there'll be kids that are sleeping at Shasta County child welfare offices overnight because there's literally nowhere to put them. And so the social workers are left with that as their only option. So pretty early on in the process, our child welfare director who's on our board said, can we include a 6-bed short-term emergency assessment center for these kiddos? So we just knew that there were going to be some kind of unique components that aren't typically found in a children's advocacy center, and that's really the reason why we wanted to expand the name beyond just Children's Advocacy Center.
So the concept is for crisis housing. We're basically talking like one night maybe for the child to stay there before a more fixable, permanent kind of situation is set up?
Yeah, the initial kind of phase one of it when we're in this facility that I'm happy to tell you about where we are right now on a brick and mortar level. Absolutely. It's sort of a one or two nights. They'll be at our center with social workers from child welfare as compared to the child welfare offices. However, once we're a little bit more established and probably looking at about 18 months down the road before our first placement would actually be available like this, it's really going to be an assessment center. So the youth would come in. It's still that same population of like we're really trying to find housing. And they'd be able to be in the emergency assessment center for, I mean, licensing would allow it for up to 60 days, but really our goal is like a 10-day stay max. And while they're there, they get a full psychosocial evaluation, medical, mental health, dental, education even. And then our team works really hard with our county in order to find a proper placement for that child.
Kimberly Johnson, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the executive director of the Children's Legacy Center in Shasta County, which is like a children's advocacy center, but as you're hearing, with some additional features. You can join the conversation as we talk about the growth of the CLC. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Those numbers I referred to just as we were getting started, Kimberly, show that Shasta County has higher ACE scores than the state of California by 191%. So ACEs, of course, being adverse childhood experiences, sexual abuse in particular, the California average 11.4%, in Shasta County 21.2%. Now, these numbers are from 2012, which is a particularly difficult economic period in Shasta County and elsewhere. To your knowledge, have these numbers improved at all?
So we closely track, and when I say we, I'm including our partnership agencies in that. Child welfare closely tracks their numbers, as well as law enforcement, the district attorney's office. But what we saw following 2012 was we actually saw a reduction in child abuse until we hit 2017. And then as soon as we hit 2017, our numbers went back to the place of where they were in 2012. Now, I think that data is so important to have really, really up-to-date, accurate data and information. And that is what child welfare is able to provide. However, I think that data can sometimes show one side of the picture. It tells one side of the story. And so we actually kind of expect that in Shasta County, our numbers could potentially increase for a few years as families know that our services are available, as kids feel comfortable coming and telling us their stories, as that continues to unfold. But then, of course, what we hope is, statistically, children's advocacy centers increased prosecution rates in their communities by 197%. So it really holds the offenders accountable. So of course, we hope to, within a 5 to 10 year range, really start to see those numbers come down.
All right, but don't be surprised, I think you're saying, if there's a boost in the short term, because as people feel it's safer to report, more people will report.
Yeah, I mean, at least in theory, right?
Right. So let's come back to one of the basic concepts we were talking about earlier, Kimberly, about the fact that children's advocacy centers aren't generally known in California. I mean, the first one was in Huntsville, Alabama, oddly enough, where I once lived and met my wife. And now we got Jackson County, Josephine County, and others in the region. Why has California been slow or just not really quick anyway to take up children's advocacy center concepts?
You know, that's a great question that I'll do my best to answer that I think is perhaps a little above my pay grade. But what I will say is that the California Children's Advocacy Center, which is our state chapter, has been working very hard for a number of years on the funding piece. So really, it comes down to the funding, right? So if other states are providing funding for children's advocacy centers, and it's really, this is my very unbiased, clearly, opinion. There's a little sarcasm in there.
Right.
That it's wise for them to fund children's advocacy centers at a state level because, again, according to the National Children's Alliance, which, by the way, that 197% statistic came from the National Children's Alliance, which is our national accrediting agency. So this one does as well. Children's advocacy centers save the community an average of $1,000 per child abuse investigation because of the efficiency and the collaboration of the model. So I think when you look at the state of California, we've just been a little bit delayed on getting funding in place. And really, without funding, it's very, very difficult to make a model like this work. So counties have done what they can. But thankfully, as of 2017, the California Children's Advocacy Center chapter received VOCA funding and approval to get VOCA funding, which is the Victims of Crime Act. It's federal funding through the California Office of Emergency Services in order to pay for children's advocacy centers. So the Children's Legacy Center is a recipient of some of those funds. So currently we receive $200,000 a year. It covers the expense of our multidisciplinary team coordinator as well as our forensic interviewer, and has also paid for some of our technology and preparation as we get into our brick and mortar space.
Well, a perfect segue. I was just about to ask you about brick and mortar space, where you are now, and you have a permanent site picked. You just haven't gotten there yet, right?
That's correct. Yes, we signed our lease. Oh gosh, November 1st is when the lease went into effect. We were very excited, and we could not have found a more beautiful site for our facility. We originally, and this is a little bit of our history, because again, the question of why has this taken us? We're coming up on 4 years by the time we cut a ribbon. And I think, well, that's getting into the weeds a bit, but part of why it's taken us 4 years, you know, we originally hired a company to come out, and they did a feasibility study in our community to see how our community would respond to a capital campaign. And we showed a 98.5% community support of a capital campaign up to $5 million. And so we were quite excited, and we moved forward, and we're prepping for the capital campaign. And then we were about 2 weeks away from our first $1 million ask when the car fire happened. And so everything in Shasta County, life got put on pause for all of us, right? And then what we really recognized as a board of directors is, you know, community giving post-car fire, it just looks different than it did pre-car fire. So we've worked really hard in order to ensure that the majority of our funding is coming through both state and federal grants. And we haven't really relied a lot on community donors up until this point. And so right now we're finally at that place where we've slowly and steadily built, where we're ready to move forward with this building facility. So, so it's 1110 Shasta Street. It's right as you're coming into downtown Reading. And one of the really beautiful things is that our forensic interview room will actually be equipped to be able to live stream forensic interviews to some of our surrounding counties. Because, you know, as is true in California, a lot of our surrounding counties don't have access to a center like this. And so we'll be able to help support them as well as the kiddos in Shasta County. So we hope to be cutting a ribbon by spring of 2020.
By spring. Okay. So it looks like six figures still left to raise to get the capital campaign to where you want it to be.
Yes. So the total cost to get in the building is just right around $400,000. We have really accurate numbers on our website because I think that transparency is really important. So we have really detailed numbers of where the money's going. So we have a current gap right now of about $115,000 is our current gap that we have left to raise on the facility. And really the reason for the high cost is there's a lot of ADA improvements that we're having to make. And then we have to put in things such as we have to put in a shower into the facility, because if you can imagine when a child is receiving, especially an acute medical exam, they're not able to shower until after that exam's taken place. So we want to be able to have those kiddos shower if they want to right there on site. Additionally, you know, the expenses within our technology and things like that is what the reason for the high cost.
Okay, a lot of work left to come, obviously, but the hope is that the ribbon will get cut next spring, 4 years after the creation of the Children's Legacy Center in Shasta County, 1110 Shasta Street. We expect to hear about a grand opening at some point. Kimberly Johnson, the Executive Director of the Children's Legacy Center in Shasta County, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, it's really been a privilege. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care.